Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could come this morning and worship you. We pray for those who did not come this morning that you would convict them and bring them back. I pray that you would help the one who's sick, that she would feel better. I pray that you'd help Brother Derek as he's considering moving to another state to be with his uncle. I pray that you'd give him wisdom to know what the right decision there is. Lord, for Brother Steve, who's interviewing at several different universities for a job, I pray that you give him safe travels on his trip that starts tomorrow, and also give him wisdom to know what the right job for him is. Help us as we study your word today, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
I am excited that my hotel is right on the ocean. I do like
no matter what happens, so it's have a fun.
Nice view, yeah. All right, let's turn to 2 Timothy.
I am his
chapter 4.
I belong to him. My body is a temple.
My Bible kind of fell right open.
Remember that? When I do things that I shouldn't.
Must be where God wants us to read that.
Second
Timothy 4, verses 5 through 7. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith.
Course. I was thinking food. I finished this course. Bring me on. I'm kind of hungry, so that's why I have that there.
This says, in verse 5, it says, but watch thou in all things. What does it mean by watch thou? Just sit there and be a spectator?
Sometimes.
Probably means be observant of the things going on around us.
To be ready.
To watch and not get up and get involved sometimes requires patience. Watch for the Lord's work in the situation. Watch for what's going on with other people. Watch for where you can be a help. Watch for the gotchas, right? So I'm not saying don't move. I'm not trying to counsel you one way or another. I don't know anything about the situation. But if you're planning to go somewhere, if you're planning to take a job in one of possibly three places, there are some gotchas, right? If you know that being near the beach does not agree with you, in other words, you won't study, you won't do what you need to do, you won't do your research, you'll just go sit on the beach, moving to a place that is pretty much all beach might not be a good decision for you.
I've never had the opportunity to test that hypothesis.
Right? It's just an example. Absolutely. But
there's beaches in both places I've been going to. So.
It's like, I have three boys, and they like technology, but they really, really, really love moving pictures. If it has a screen, they're already addicted to it, even though they may not have known it existed yesterday, right? So if I want them to get something done, I don't go turn on the TV and leave it running in the background. Because then what happens is they'll take two steps and go. And nothing's happening anymore. They're not getting anything done except standing there staring at the television. It can be as simple as, are you ready for this? The screensaver of pictures we've taken over the years going by, they can't walk past that. I don't know why, but they love to just stop and stare at a moving picture. So, when I want them to get something done, I don't put that on. Sometimes there's gotchas, right? When it says watch, it means look out for things. What could be there that could be bad? What could be there that could be good? The Bible talks a lot about patience, which is what we're going to talk about today. Waiting on the Lord. So, I have to get to it. Think about Paul's life. He was shipwrecked a couple of times. He was bitten by a snake. He spent years and years on the road, being chased out of one town and trying to get into the next. And sometimes when he went from one town to the next, the bad guys chasing him followed him, kicked him out of the next town. Yep. He was whisked away by night several times. He was imprisoned several times. He was beaten. God personally broke him out of prison. Right? Yeah. many people do you know that have a life that compares to that?
Mine's pretty dramatic.
How many people do you know have a life that shows the same amount of fruit that Paul's life did? Just Jesus. Moses was up there. Abraham was up there. Right? They went through some stuff. But Paul really went through some stuff. It was rough. It was long. His missionary journeys, it's not like if we got ran out of town here for preaching the gospel and we drove up to Casa Grande and they followed us and kicked us out, so we drove to Phoenix. It's not like that. It's not an hour. It's not an hour and a half.
It's
like days of walking. Just days of walking to get to the next little town not far down the road.
Where do they like sleep at night?
On the ground. Outside.
That's so awful.
Well, I'm looking forward to the day when the earth is the way God originally created it and intended for it to be. And when we go lay down in the grass in the field and it's the perfect temperature and the sun is out, but we're not getting a sunburn because of the canopy of waters over the earth. And then the lions decide, yeah, nap is a good idea. So they come down and lay down on either side of you, you know. Cuddle with you.
But this,
I think that'd be great.
This was post sin.
This was
for Paul.
Exactly the point. Paul had to labor. Adam had the opportunity to work without it being laborious. It was work. It was an assignment. He needed to get up and get it done.
I would love a lion as a pillow.
But it was awesome for Adam. Until sin. Paul bore the full brunt of sin in that he had to live with everything he did to persecute the Christians before he started serving the Lord.
And on top of that, we'd actually be able to communicate with the animals.
We would be.
Be like, hey, what's up, Mr. Lion? Oh, nothing, how you doing?
Well, they didn't talk.
The Bible doesn't say they talked.
Only the donkey talked.
Yeah. That was a special.
That was post.
I know a lot of... Never mind.
Did you know a lot of donkeys that talk?
Yeah.
I wish I knew donkeys.
Metaphorically speaking.
Let's turn to Romans 8. Strangely, I seem to remember recently we had a member of ours over here.
No way.
Yeah. It does happen that God's Word works together with God's Word. Romans 8, starting in verse 22. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Did creation groan and travail before sin? No, there was no turmoil, no groaning, no travailing, no pain before sin. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So we're groaning and travailing, waiting to be raptured out of here, adopted into heaven, and given a new body that won't feel pain, which is much later than the rapture, right? That's after the tribulation, we have a new body with them, right? Think about a child who's waiting to be adopted, and they live in the orphanage, and a family comes and takes them home 1 week on the weekend, and the child is just... Hard of heart, just no other way to say it. They've been waiting so long. They've seen kids they liked and were friends with get adopted, but they haven't been adopted, and the child is just hard. And then the family comes back the next week, and they take them home again. And the next week, and the next week. And eventually the child starts to hope that on Friday afternoon, the family comes and picks them up. Not expecting yet fully to be adopted, but hoping that they'll at least come back and see him again. Right? Starts getting just a little attached. Then, they come one day, and they take the child, and they take him to some restaurant they've been to that they like, and they sit down with him, and they talk to the child, and they say, so, we really love you, and we would like to adopt you. Would you like to be adopted? And the child says, yes, I want to be adopted. And and the parents or the parents to be say, we'll adopt you, we're going to do it. Consider yourself, you know, ours. But then there's the legal paperwork and there's all this stuff, right? So now the child goes and tells their friends, I'm adopted. Come meet this great family, maybe they'll adopt you too. That's exactly where we're at right now. We've been told by a reputable source we're going to be adopted. We're told we're loved. We're told we're going to adopt you. Consider yourself adopted. We're accepted into this family. But we haven't been moved out of the orphanage yet into the new home. So imagine the day when they actually come and they pick up the child, they drive them home, and they get them home, and they say, you're here now, you can stay. You don't have to go back to the orphanage. That's us getting promoted to heaven, right? There's nothing unsure about our adoption. It's just a matter of time. We just haven't been physically moved to the new location yet. So Paul has been serving all this time in the orphanage, all this time in travail and groaning and pain. Remember, the Bible says Paul has some physical affliction that he sought the Lord several times to have removed, and the Lord said, nope, keep it. And Paul said, nevertheless will I glory in my infirmities. What if it's a thorn in his foot? And he walks everywhere he goes for years. He's a traveler. Maybe he's got a thorn in his foot. Maybe he's got a bad knee. Maybe he's got a bad hip. We don't know what it is. But whatever he's going through, he's got that to take along with him. And Paul just continues serving God, continues and continues. And he's in prison. But he's not got his feet up. He's not resting. He's writing. He's writing what becomes the New Testament, much of the New Testament for us. He's writing to all the churches he's worked with. He's writing to the different saints that he's worked with and fellow servants to encourage them and tell them to keep going. And he writes here in Timothy, but watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith.
Of course, keep thinking of food.
Let's switch back a few pages to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 36, it says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Again, we want to be moved to that new physical location. We want to have rest. We want to relax. We want to enjoy God's company. But this says, ye have need of patience, after that ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. In our book, Roman numeral 1 of chapter 12, lesson 12. The blank there is patience. And this chapter 12 is a passion to finish my course. So Roman numeral 1 is finishing your course requires patience. God is not in a hurry. He's slow, he's deliberate, he's got everything planned out. I don't want to say careful because in the Bible sometimes careful means don't be a worrywart, right? Be careful for nothing. But he is careful, he knows exactly what he's doing. You can't rush him. Steve's been looking for a job for how many months? And for the longest time you just kept saying, I just wish I would hear something from somewhere. I just want to have a job. And you heard nothing, and you heard nothing, and you heard nothing. And then all of a sudden you've got two, maybe three.
It was at the floodgates in like 1 week.
God God knew what he was doing. I don't know what he was teaching you or someone else who was observing the situation. I have no idea. But he knew what he was doing. You can't rush him. All the praying you did to get to this point didn't speed him up or slow him down one little bit. We need patience. Be careful not to pray for patience.
God gives tribulation.
God brings tribulation to teach patience, right? So if you pray for patience,
I'm good
you're
on patience.
Asking for tribulation.
I don't need anymore.
Yeah. So be careful. You need patience and you need to try to be patient. But you want to be careful about praying, Lord, teach me patience, because he will. He may teach you patience even if you don't pray for it.
I feel like that happens.
Yeah, I feel like that happens too. But he needs us and wants us to be patient, and we can't hurry. Look in James chapter 1.
Okay, so,
there's a lot the Bible has to say about patience. James 1 and verse 4, but let patience have her perfect, which means mature or complete work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So without patience, you might think you're good now, but you're incomplete. Whatever God is using patience to teach you, or whatever God is taking his time to teach you, or to change the situation for you, you're incomplete. Maybe you weren't ready for these job offers until now. I don't know. I know you were pretty desirous to have a job offer, but maybe you weren't ready. Maybe God was preparing something in your heart.
Telling a lie or taking a piece of candy from the store—that's being a thief.
Who here has heard of the vegetables of the spirit?
Well, those are onions.
Onions have layers.
Radishes.
Onions
I'm thinking of other vegetables that are actually fruits. I can say tomatoes.
Well, it's just interesting to me.
Cucumbers.
There was a couple of the verses we touched on talked about your fruit, right? And I want to talk a couple minutes about the fruit of the Spirit. But we were vegetarian, so we eat a lot of vegetables, and we eat a lot of fruit too. Why doesn't the Bible refer to the things that you yield in your life as vegetables?
Because by definition, a vegetable doesn't have a seed, but a fruit does, and so it's more salt, easily replicating.
Does that mean peppers are fruits?
Yes, technically.
Yes.
Technically, most people consider it a vegetable, but it.
I didn't know.
If it has a seed,
tomatoes
it's considered
fruit.
A fruit.
I knew that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought it was.
See,
like,
there's a reason in God's word for everything.
I thought it was like because fruit grew on trees.
We learned
and,
that when we did botany for a year in school.
And vegetables grew like on bushes and like closer
strawberries
to the ground.
Grew on bushes and
yeah, that's true.
They're fruit covered in seeds.
Yeah.
Think about
seeds get stuck in my teeth every time.
Yeah.
Think about a peach tree. And
where's
you go
the
to
fruit
the,
in a blueberry?
All of these things are genus.
Where's the seed?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Where's the seed in the blueberry?
I don't know. I'll have to look into that one. That's interesting.
Because like you can feel them in like a raspberry and stuff like that.
Yeah, but like a blackberry.
Or like a peach or a pear or an apple or whatever. Like,
will those have seeds?
No, I know. I'm saying
oh, okay.
Like I can think of like where it is in all of those, but I can't figure out where it is in blueberry.
So
well, technically a cucumber, you chop off the top part.
There's seeds in a cucumber.
There's seeds?
Oh, yeah, there is. There we go.
All right.
I'm thinking of something else.
If you think about, say, a peach tree.
Boy, that is good.
If you go to the nursery today and buy a sapling of a peach tree, you know, two and a half, three feet tall. It's got a little bit of foliage on the top. It's got a little root base. And you go and you plant it in the yard and you start watering it. And after it's been in the ground for an entire year, 365 days, it starts to yield little buds. And attached to those eventually are little fruit. Well, because it's its first year, you pick those right away. You don't let them develop into full-size peaches. You don't eat them. They're sour. They're rotten. You don't want them. You pick them. Throw them away. That way the nutrients stay in the tree and the tree gets stronger. Then year number two, you do the same thing. Pick them right off when they turn into fruit. Go wait for them to develop and grow and be full size. Pick them right off. Keep the nutrients in the tree. And you do this for 5 years. At year five is the first time you probably have enough nutrients built up in the tree and enough strength and size of tree that you finally have peaches on your peach tree. That's patience. You're going for an end product. You're going for a good, solid product.
What about a banana tree? Those are one shot ones.
I have no idea. I've never grown bananas.
Banana trees are one time. Grows up, produces, then dies.
In general, for a farmer, how much patience is required? The Bible talks about whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. And in due season, if you faint not, right? Shall reap in due season. I think I had that.
That's going to be one thing nice about Michigan is.
Yeah, Galatians 6, 7 through 9.
It says they're just not noticeable depending on their species, but they do have seeds.
I was just thinking, what about a banana?
Yeah, they have, that's what those little black spots are inside.
On the tip, right, of the banana?
If you slice a banana, look at it, and there'll be like these little tiny dark spots in the middle, which are the seeds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season and if we faint not. We need patience. Therefore, verse 10. As we there have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. We need patience. Passion to finish your course is going to require patience. Think about the farmer who goes out and tills the ground, and then goes out later and plows it up again. This time, goes back and puts seeds. And then things start sprouting up. And he's got to go and be able to discern the good stuff from the bad. And he yanks out the weeds.
Well,
a lot of times they don't weed.
Too big,
they're
not
going to. But in some cases, right?
Maybe a gardener.
So you've got to go take care of it. Then you've got to make sure it's irrigated.
I hate it.
But
that's the funnest
part. The part you can't do anything about is the time. If you plant it in spring, it's not ready until harvest.
Well, see.
No matter what you do, if you get hungry sooner than whatever, October, that doesn't mean you can eat it. You've already put in the labor, but you can't eat it yet.
There are some plants.
Well, whatever, that's why I said harvest.
But
there are different growing seasons for different plants.
But you wouldn't be able to plant them outdoor and be able to have them produce fruit sooner. You would have to actually grow them indoor where you have complete control of everything, including light, temperature, carbon dioxide,
yeah,
nitrogen, phosphorus. That'd be the only way, really. And you can get it. You can get strawberries to produce quicker. You can get
speed some of it up.
Yeah, but and
but
it's
still,
smaller plants. It's a lot of the smaller plants. You can't. Most of the trees and stuff, you can't do that with.
But the farmer has to have patience before they have fruit. Just like in our life, we have to have patience before we get to see the fruit.
That's why it's making that noise.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and what you have to teach us. We thank you for the things that we can learn. I pray that you would help us to have patience help us to apply this to our lives and wait on you for the right information and the right leading so that we can serve you the way that you want us to. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. It should cause us to focus on the things that
we're doing.
Did I just push stop?
Yeah.